I'll try not to be too lengthy here tonight in light of the testimonies that we just heard and the time there for that. Do be in prayer still for those that are sick and pastor and others that are enjoying some sick time. And so be in prayer for them that way. Nobody does not enjoy a good fever, right? I mean, come on. A lot of fun that way. And so Luke chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 25. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And then the Bible goes on to another story of somebody else in the temple with a similar experience. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful this morning, this evening for what you've done in church today and this morning, and thankful for the young people that you've brought back to us here and for the testimonies that they have of enjoying serving you and what you're doing in their lives. Thankful for that and the testimony of that, Lord. We just ask that you'd be with those that are sick even tonight and help them recover from that. And would you be with us tonight as we preach your word? Might it be an encouragement to us, and might we be challenged and hear from you this evening. Lord, we're thankful, we love you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Of course, we're kind of, it's Christmas time, so we've got to have at least some Christmas-themed messages here. It's important. We can't miss that time. It's important, and we're just thankful for it. And this is one of my favorite accounts that kind of comes from the Christmas chapter, the Christmas section that we would refer to of the Gospels. As Jesus was brought into the temple here to do as they were accustomed to do with babies during that time. And there was multiple people who had been yearning for this exact moment. Mary and Joseph weren't expecting this, but they come into the temple, and there was two different individuals that were older and had been waiting for this moment, and was something that when they saw Jesus, man, they got excited. It was amazing for them. One man who literally said, now that he's seen Jesus, I can die now. That's some anticipation. You with me? We say that as a joke, right? You've tasted something that's so good and you go, I can die now. I've had it. This is the best I'll ever have. Time to go. He wasn't meaning it sarcastically. He really meant, I had waited. I was staying alive for this moment. Can you imagine that? Where he said, I would like to not be here anymore, is essentially what he's saying. But I'm waiting for this, and now I can go on. That's kind of awesome. And you've got Anna, who some people interpret this as saying she was 84 years old. Some people interpret it as saying she was even much older, that she had been widowed for 84 years. Either way, she was pretty old for that time. And she had just given her life into the temple. And since she'd been widowed, whether that was 60 years or 84 years or whatever it was quite a while, and she had given her life to just being in the temple and fasting and prayer and serving in the temple. And when Jesus comes, she goes, "This is it. This is the one that's to come to be for the redemption of all of Israel." And what an amazing a moment of excitement and anticipation. And there's a lot of things that we're excited about and we anticipate. There's a lot of things we care about. And there's some things we couldn't care less about, right? Some people here couldn't care less about how the Seahawks game went today. Some people couldn't care less about their playoff potential. Some people are in deep depression right now about it. Some of you can't even fake a smile. You're so upset. Right? We're excited and we enjoy and anticipate different things. I, for one, am not an easily excitable person. Most things I don't care about. Most things. It's just the way that I am. This is actually why I'm pretty bad at small talk. If you ever have small talk conversation with me, this conversation is happening in my brain where I'm thinking about things to say, and each thing I think about, I go, "Who cares about that? Why would I say that? That doesn't matter. Why would I talk to you about the weather? Why would I? You experience it as well. Why would we talk? Who cares?" Some people talk to me about, "Oh, snow," and I'll go, "Hey, yeah, back home it snows." And in my mind, I'm going, "Why would you care why it snows in New York? Why would you care? I don't even care, and I used to live there. Why would you care about the snow in New York and what happened 10 years ago when it snowed? Who cares?" And that's kind of how I am. I'm not an easily excitable person. I'm not good at small talk. There's very few things that are going to get me excited. People lose their minds over Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and they'll sleep outside to go get some free chicken sandwiches. I'm not that excited about a chicken sandwich. I'm not probably even going to go there once this year. So if you give me, if you gave me 52 free chicken sandwiches, to me now you gave me an errand. I have to make sure I go to Chick-fil-A 52 times this year. I'm not excited about it. If at one point this year I want a chicken sandwich, I'll go pay the $3 and I'll get a chicken sandwich. Not a big deal for me. But some people, man, they were looking forward to it and they're thinking 6 months ahead of time, "Oh, I can't wait till I can sleep outside and get those chicken sandwiches," like we're starving to death. And how could we ever get a Chick-fil-A sandwich at any one of the other Chick-fil-A's? Whatever. That's insane to me. But you give me something that's really good food, then me and some other people, we'll get in a car and we'll drive 6 hours to Coeur d'Alene to go eat a steak at Wolf Lodge. We'll get the best steak. I mean, if raccoons try to scare us off, it don't even matter, because we're gonna get that steak. And that's, to me, that's fine. Yeah, 6 hours in the car to go get a steak and then drive. Sure, I'll do that every time. Don't worry about it. Point is, we're all excited about different things. Different things are enjoyable and exciting and that we anticipate. And there's a lot of excitement this time of year. There's anticipation over Christmas time. Young people and kids lose their minds over Christmas coming. They're thinking about presents and whatever next thing is that they can get at Christmas time. And some of us are excited about the time that we get to off of work and time that we get to spend with family. Some are even excited to get past Christmas because they're not a fan of the holidays. Some people are excited about figgy pudding. I wasn't even sure today entirely really what figgy pudding is. And I had to break from preparing the message to go determine, what is figgy pudding? It's not even pudding at all, I guess, apparently. And so maybe that's good, maybe it's not. But some people are excited about it. They're waiting for when I can have figgy pudding. When can I put up my Christmas lights? Looking forward to this time. And I wonder, You know, today as we think about this and the things that we're excited about and the things that we anticipate, I wonder today as we come up to Christmas, what are the things that matter to you and I? What are the things we're excited about? As we're excited about Christmas, what about Christmas is exciting to us? What in our lives do we anticipate during this time? Simeon and Anna both were amazed to see Christ. I mean, they were excited and amazed to see this Jesus. Both of them had been waiting and looking forward to this moment. Simeon says, I knew that the Lord had said that I was not going to die until I found and saw the Christ. And apparently he had waited long enough that, I mean, he doesn't wait till that evening to even mention this. He says it right there as he's holding the baby Jesus, I can die now. Now I can go on. I found him. You get the picture of somebody that's been hanging on till this moment. He doesn't say next week, oh yeah, I guess that was it. That was my last thing to do. He says right then, finally, I had been waiting for this moment. This was what it all led up to. Now we've got the Christ. Now he's been born. I mean, you can just imagine the excitement that he had there as he talks about that this was the one that would be the consolation of Israel, of what Jesus was going to do. And you get this 84-year-old woman, or maybe possibly quite older, that fasted and prayed in the temple, and when she sees Christ, it says she immediately comes and talks to all that were there about the waiting of everyone for the redemption of Israel that would come through Christ. I mean, she was excited. They were waiting for this moment. They were those that were excited and anticipating exactly what would happen here. Why? Because this Jesus had come to bring salvation to all people and was well anticipated by those that were paying attention to this, by those that understood, by those, these two in particular, that understood what this meant. See, we know that most in Israel, they didn't get it, right? They saw Jesus and they weren't impressed because they didn't understand what this meant. All that they thought was there was going to be the Christ would come and throw off the Roman rule and they would get a great nation and it would be awesome. That was their mindset. And so when they saw some lowly born in a manger Nazarene that was a carpenter, they were not impressed. They weren't even considering the salvation of their souls. That wasn't even where their minds were at. But those that did understand that, Simeon and Anna that understood what this meant, man, they were excited. They were anticipating this. This was an amazing sight for them. Nothing could have been greater to them than to behold that moment in that day. Nothing could have been more exciting. Nothing could have been a greater moment. They were more excited than anyone would ever be over a Seahawks Super Bowl. You with me? Now, for a lot of us, that's real exciting. They were more excited than that. That was, at the end of the day, after somebody wins the Super Bowl, who cares to you and me? We go, that was awesome. But I don't know any of them. That who wins football doesn't change my life in one way at all. No, they were excited because this meant something. And they were more excited than free Chick-fil-A. You with me? That's not that big of a deal. If you're here today and you can't afford a chicken sandwich, I'll buy one for you. It's fine. Not that big of a deal. They were more excited than that. Man, they were more excited than any child has ever been Christmas morning. That's pretty excited. That's where they were at. Because this didn't mean some football victory or free food or a nice gift. This meant eternal salvation from the sure condemnation of their sins. They understood that. That this meant that God had not lied to them. That God had not forsaken them. But that they could be finally saved. Man, that was amazing. Especially these that are right there at the cusp of going on into eternity. And they know, man, if this Jesus does not come, if this had that I had been devoting my life to serving God in the temple, and his promise of a Savior isn't true, man, we're this close to a big problem. And so when they saw Christ, they knew, it's paradise right around the corner. It's true. There is a Savior. We can be redeemed. God's promise is true. This meant that they really didn't have to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. And I don't know about you, but that's like a pretty big deal. That's something to be excited about. That's not going to hell and instead going into paradise with streets of gold and mansions and spending an eternity with a God that loves you and not being in a burning pit that burneth forever in outer darkness. That's a little better than a free chicken sandwich. You with me? If you can give me paradise or free Chick-fil-A, I'm taking the paradise. And I bet whatever food's up there is probably better than a chicken sandwich from a fast food joint. I actually like Chick-fil-A. I don't know why I'm picking on it so much tonight. To them, nothing could be more astounding than the promised reveal of a Savior here. That baby in their arms that it's meant. Can you imagine that? See, for you and I, we don't get that experience in our lives. Where we're at in history, we don't get that experience right now. We serve God by faith, and we trust that what God said is true is true. And we believe what's historically accurate about there was a Jesus, but we don't ever get that moment where we held him in our arms. I mean, they had that moment where this Jesus, the Jesus we believe existed and we trust with our eternal soul, but have never touched, they held him in their arms. Imagine that. I don't know about you, but one of the sweetest thoughts in my mind is that one day I'll get to hug the one that died for me. Man, to be face to face, and they held him in their arms. Man, the excitement there. They were so excited that their amazement led to Joseph and Mary being amazed. Look at verse 33. It says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of him." Isn't that awesome? Because Simeon and Anna were amazed, Joseph and Mary began to understand the true implications of his birth. See, they knew this was something amazing before, because an angel revealed these things to Mary and said, "Hey, listen, you're gonna give birth to the Christ. You're a virgin. This is going to be immaculate conception here. It's going to be something amazing, out of bounds of something you've ever understood, ever conceived of before. And you're going to give birth to the Christ." And she knew that. And then just in case, the same was revealed to Joseph. They knew these things. But they come here and all of a sudden, Simeon and Anna starts talking about what this means for the redemption of all mankind. And they start to finally grasp what the implications of this birth means. They knew it was amazing before, but they're beginning to understand here just how amazing that really is. And by the amazement and excitement of Simeon and Anna, Joseph and Mary are marveling. They're going, "Wow, you're right. This is even more amazing than we thought it was." That's where they were. They were amazed because somebody else was amazed. And as amazed as they were, notice they couldn't have possibly been amazed enough. As excited as they were of this moment, they couldn't have been excited enough. Meaning there would be no level of excitement too much for this moment. You ever been seeing somebody that's a little bit too excited for what's going on at the time? That's me if I enjoy some food that I really enjoy. I get a little bit, things get serious. Right? If I'm looking forward to food and they happen to be closed on an odd random Monday, because here everything closes Mondays for some reason, things are going to go downhill for me. Right? I get a little too excited, a little too serious about food. And there's certain things that way. In this situation, they couldn't have been too excited. This couldn't have been made too big of a deal. They couldn't have gone too overboard where somebody would have said, hey, relax a little bit. Come on. No, it's not that way. You see somebody at the football game and it's -2 degrees and they've got their shirt off and they're painted up. They're screaming and throwing things and going nuts. And you're going, hey, relax. You're not even playing. You don't get any money if they win. Doesn't matter for you. Calm down a little bit. No, that's not this moment. There could have been no level of excitement too much for this moment. And the point here is, and I don't want to labor it too much, is that their excitement over Jesus ought to be something that reminds us that maybe we ought to be a little excited about this thing. When we come to Christmas time, there ought to be something a little exciting about that for us. I mean, come on, are you and I amazed this Christmas that God really did send His Son to die for your sins? Is that amazing? Or is that like, well, yeah, that's the Christmas story, whatever. Don't make a big deal about it. Is that something that's amazing to us, or is it something that's old news? Man, it's something we don't need to talk about it every Christmas. It's fine. It's whatever. Man, it ought to be something that's amazing. Are we still excited about Christ? Are we excited to tell others about Him, excited to serve Him, excited that we have a home prepared in heaven? Our amazement over Christ ought to be and should be, if we're truly excited, if it's something that's truly touched us, it becomes a testimony to others. Notice that Joseph and Mary were excited about this because Simeon and Anna were excited about this. And our excitement ought to be something that's known. If we're excited and amazed about Christmas, not just because gifts and vacation time and figgy pudding, but because a Savior was born, someone might just take notice. Sometimes we're not even excited enough to come to church on Christmas Eve. And I don't mean to poke that. I won't even be here. So if you're not here, don't even. I'll be over the mountains. But if we're not even excited enough to be in church, what does that tell our loved ones? Man, it's like exciting, but come on. I'm not going to get out of bed for it. It's the holidays. Well, how exciting is it really then? This ought to be something that amazes us. As we come to Christmas, it ought to be something that's it's a time of year where we're amazed again and again and again that salvation has come to us. That despite the fact that we've so frequently and purposely and intentionally driven ourselves into sin, that there has now been forgiveness and a payment made for that sin, and we have a home prepared in heaven. That ought to be something amazing to us. That ought to be something that strikes a chord with us. It ought to be something that we're so amazed about it that it amazes other people how amazed we are. That other people notice it. Are we as amazed about the birth of a Savior as we are about free sandwiches, as we are about Christmas presents? Shouldn't our excitement, in other words, about the birth of our salvation be something perceivable during Christmas time? Shouldn't it be something that's known? We ought to be anticipating Him just as they were anticipating Him. See, the coming of Christ was split in two from what the Jews understood it to be. See, the Jews understood that Christ would come, and He would come with a rod of iron as the Lion of Judah, and He would just rule in Israel and cast off Roman rule and all of these different things. And they didn't understand that Jesus was going to come first as a lamb to pay the sacrifice for their sins and would come later again to be the Lion of Judah, to rule with a rod of iron. And that's why they kind of miss this. And our souls have been eternally saved because Christ came the first time. And that's something we ought to be excited and amazed by, that Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins, and that we've had a chance, that we've called out to Him, and we know we've been born again. And that ought to be something that amazes us and excites us this Christmas. But we're still waiting for something. Because you and I still groan in this flesh that messes up all the time, that ruins things, Probably each one of us in here has kind of at least a little bit ruined Christmas because of this old flesh. You with me? And man, we're so excited that Christ came and he brought salvation. But man, we ought to be anticipating that he's coming again. Are we waiting as they were for the first coming of Christ? Are we longing and waiting for his return? We know that children are excited about Christmas. There's no confusion about that. Right? Very seldom is a child's excitement for Christmas and anticipation over Christmas something that's unknown. You with me? They're counting down the days, even if they can't count. Right? I remember my son finally is getting numbers down, but even before then, all three of my kids, before that they knew how numbers or days of the week or time at all worked, they would go, well, how many days till Christmas? And I would go, well, what does that matter to you? You don't know what numbers mean. It's 19 days. How long is that? That's 3 weeks or so. How long is 3 weeks? We know like there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And they have no idea what I'm talking about, but they need to know because they're excited. They're anticipating it. They need to understand in some ways their brain can conceive of when is Christmas coming. And they count down the days and they need to know when it's coming. They let you know, man, this takes forever. It's been the longest month of my life. Every day they're checking the boxes under the tree. They're the same ones that are there yesterday, and they're looking and shaking them. Okay, all right. You're anticipating it. Before we're even, 2 weeks from Christmas, they're going, we probably should open some Christmas Eve, right? Every kid does it. They've already got a plan. They develop their little arguments, right? They're rehearsing them in the mirror. How do I get Christmas and Christmas Eve? How do I do it? They're excited about it, right? Christmas Eve, they can't sleep. They're creeping out of their rooms to try to catch Santa, to try to see what's going on. They need to see it. They need to know. Christmas morning is the one day of the year that all kids pop right up out of bed before the crack of dawn. They're not even a little tired. Every other day of the year, you can get the loudest alarm clock and it beeps for a half an hour and they don't even care. You're dragging them out of bed. They can't wake up for 2 hours. They're falling asleep in their cereal. Christmas morning, 3 a.m., they're up and shaking you. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. Man, they're excited. They're anticipating it. It's obvious that they've been looking forward to this, and this is something they're amazed by and they're excited about. Let me ask you, are you marked as one that's been anticipating the return of your Savior? Are you marked as one that's excited about the fact that Jesus came to save your soul and you're looking forward to the day he returns? Meaning, if he came back today, would others say of you, yeah, he'd been waiting for this his whole life? Or would they say, I didn't even know that guy was a believer. Wow. That's weird. For Christians, apathy is one of the greatest killers. Because there's really no way to help somebody, to influence somebody, to excite somebody who isn't really concerned. You see, for us, we all care about different things. We're all excited about different things during Christmas. I'm not excited about figgy pudding. You might be, that's the thing for you, right? I love Christmas lights. You might be thinking, why would I put up Christmas? This is a waste of time. And different people are excited about different things. But can I tell you what? If we're not excited about Jesus this Christmas, something's wrong. There's not much that can be done about that. If you don't think that this Jesus thing is a big deal, I don't know what to tell you. If having the sin that condemned you to an eternal torture washed away by the promised Messiah isn't very exciting to you, if that pales in comparison to figgy pudding, I have no words to help you. I don't know what could possibly be said for that. I don't know what I could do to change your mind if the thought that you were destined to an eternal torture and now you've got a home in heaven because of the promised Messiah, and you wait and anticipate the day that you don't know when it's coming, but he's coming one day to receive you into that glory, and you're more excited by Chick-fil-A. I don't know. What could I say to you? What could convince you? If you're more excited about some knickknacks during Christmas that you're going to throw away in 2 months than that salvation was literally born, then enjoy the knickknacks. I don't know what to tell you this Christmas. Different people are excited about different things, especially during Christmas. Some people want to play the hide the pickle game in the tree. I don't want to do that. You have fun with that. But we ought to be known as those, regardless of what else we're excited about, we ought to be known as those that are excited about Christ. That ought to be something that emanates through the Christmas time for us. Is that friends and family and those around us would know that, man, we're excited that a Savior was born. See, those that don't know him aren't excited about that. In fact, that's the part they want to get away from. Everybody's all about Santa Claus, and they're all about Christmas trees, and they're all about presents, and they're all about all of that part. Nativity scene, let's get those out of here. We don't want that part. This whole Jesus thing, let's forget that. You with me? And you and I ought to be the ones that are saying, no. That's the exciting part. You're missing it. Who cares about presents and Christmas trees and figgy pudding? A Savior was born. I don't have to go to hell, and neither do you. That's the exciting part. And guess what? He's coming any day now. I get to go with him any day now. Man, that could be Christmas morning. Man, our thought ought to be, what would be the greatest Christmas morning that a Savior would come back, and Christmas morning we spend in glory? That ought to be our thought, not, I wonder what presents I'm getting. I wonder if Chick-fil-A is giving away free breakfast on Christmas morning. We ought to be known as those that are excited about a Savior and anticipating his return. Because look at what happens. Anna and Simeon, so excited, had anticipated this moment so much that even Joseph and Mary, who knew Christ, they stand back and they marvel at this excitement. They go, I can't believe it. See, your excitement can influence those around you, even those that are believers, let alone those that don't know Christ, by the fact that, man, Jesus really is a big deal. I didn't even realize how big of a deal. I didn't even realize how exciting this was because of how excited you and I can be. Different people are excited by different things, especially during Christmas. But this Christmas, let us be known as those that are excited about a Savior and that are anticipating that he's coming back for us. Let's stand to our feet this evening.